Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
So I saw my fourth live show in the last month and my second inside. It's called What Happened? The Michaels Abroad. Not a great title, but yes, it is the Michaels clan from Rhinebeck, created by Richard Nelson. All 12 of his so-called family plays, he also gave us The Gabriels and The Apples, have been done over the past decade at the Public Theater. This final one is actually at Hunter College's theater project on East 68th Street. The venue turns out to be adequate enough. In fact, the public gave him the original set and props. The audience of less than 100 surrounds the group as they cook and dance and reminisce about a major character, Rose, the matriarch and a choreographer who has recently died of COVID. As with all these plays, including the last several, which were done on Zoom, this is strictly a one-room conversation among the characters. That room is always the kitchen. This one is in France, not the Rhinebeck area, where a memorial dance event is being planned. And yes, we not only smell the food as it comes out of the oven, we are presented with a recipe inside the playbill. The cast of six women and one man, the patriarch, portrayed by the great J.O. Sanders, talk and talk, and there is more dancing than you'd expect. Playwright Richard Nelson manages to keep things very topical, not only with COVID, but a theater discussion that touches on diversity, even a line about Afghanistan. But you'll be moved by this one. I spoke to Nelson this week, and he said the true joy was being with live actors in an actual room together. Though he said, I told them every day of rehearsal that there was a 30 to 40% chance we'd never get up. So on that subject, you have to prove vaccination and wear masks throughout that show, of course. Now, as for on-Broadway news, it's all about reopening. This week, September 14th, sort of the official day. 17 shows hope to be up in some form by October. You can watch the New York Times' latest and apparently last offstage discussion Thursday night, that's September 16th, virtually. The cast of Hadestown and Girl from the North Country will give us a taste of their shows. Find offstage through the New York Times website. Now, as for another show, a non-musical, producer Barry Diller, who has obviously replaced Scott Rudin, announced the complete cast for the Broadway return of To Kill a Mockingbird. That's the most successful American play in Broadway history. Adapted, of course, by Aaron Sorkin, To Kill a Mockingbird is set to reopen October 5th at the Schubert. Now, joining the previously announced Jeff Daniels, reprising his originating role as Atticus Finch, and Celia Keenan Bolger, as she returns in her Tony Award-winning performance as Scout, are Hunter Parrish as Jem Finch, and Michael Brower as Tom Robinson. Those are two very fine actors. Harper Lee's story, of course, dealt and deals with racism even before it became the main subject this past year and a half. At least 10 upcoming productions in New York are from Black playwrights. One of those is Passover on Broadway, which I reviewed here. Another is Thoughts of a Colored Man, written by Kenan Scott II and directed by Steve H. Broadnecks III. It's in rehearsals now. We'll begin previewing performances on Friday, October 1st. That's at Broadway's Golden Theater. Meanwhile, streaming options continue. Let's start with the Lantern Theater Company in Philadelphia, which is offering two shows. The first is a premiere of Me and the Devil with music by Steve H. Broadnecks III, the third, and Charles Dumas, about the blues musician Robert Johnson. Yes, that's the same Steve Broadnecks involved with Thoughts of a Colored Man. And that one's available through October 17th. Then Lantern segues into an adaptation of the Camus novel, The Plague, an allegory about the rise of fascism during an epidemic. That just may resonate about now. That one starts October 7th and runs through November. Continuing the literary theme, the Irish Rep Theater in New York presents the 2017 musical adaptation of Frank McCourt's best-selling memoir, Angela's Ashes, which puts Frank's mother, the title character, front and center. That one is online from this Thursday through September 22nd only, irishrep.org. And one more, in Connecticut, the Westport Country Playhouse continues to mine its vault and will offer John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men from 2008. The New York Times Review praised that show for a vitality and sensuality that remind us that every life is touched by loneliness and failure. That one is up through September 26th, thewestportplayhouse.org. Out in your beautiful hood, the Barrington Stage continues to deliver, presenting The Crossing from September 23rd through October 17th. That's indoors, though, at the Boyd Quinson Stage. The story focuses on a group of migrants crossing the southern border, demonstrating the personal impact of crossing an invisible line. The group faces many dangers, but believe it or not, this is a musical. Finally, the most moving drama of the week was the coverage of 9/11's 20th anniversary. Well, if you didn't cry 50 times, you're stronger than I am. I also thought about how the event impacted theater. Specifically, the first play that came out of it was called The Guys at the Fleet Theater downtown. That has played many times in places since. My first play, if I can mention it, was in fact impacted. It was about the correspondence between two New York tweens over several years. It had had a few nice readings, but when 9/11 happened, I put it in a drawer and figured it was done for. Who would ever care about kids writing about acne or the cute new boys in class? But then it dawned on me, I would include 9/11 at the end of the piece and how it affected these New York kids. It added a whole new depth. And I must say the play called Dear Maudie, which played at the Sharon Playhouse, by the way, went on to some actual success. So many creatives in all fields could not ignore 9/11. And Jill, it could not help but make their work richer.
And it's interesting because I was thinking about Come From Away. I did the same thing mentally. It's like, all right, what shows? And do you remember Mamma Mia?
Sure.
Which I think had just opened, right? We should check
where?
That. Yeah, no, in New York, because...
I'm sorry. You mean during 9/11?
Yes.
Time. Yeah, I thought you meant back to the pandemic. Yes,
no,
probably.
No. But I think that was just, you know, helpfully joyful.
Absolutely. And by the way, a lot of people told me they watched Come From Away this weekend, the movie version of the play. I had seen the play, of course, and they said they cried a lot. So I haven't seen how they did that one yet, but apparently good enough.
Yep.
Yeah,
it opened October 18th, 2001.
There you go.
And I know it was in previews, but there was some concern because I can't remember, even though I was alive then, how long Broadway was dark.
Not too long. I was talking about that with somebody this weekend. I don't think it was, I may be wrong, more than a week or two, really. They made a big deal about reopening. It was relatively quickly.
You know, what I find quite interesting is they made it was important to reopen it just in terms of the pulse, you know, the heartbeat of New York, just as it was important to reopen the stock exchange.
And there were fears. There were fears there,
massive
too.
Massive fears.
I knew how to wear a mask for, but they, you know, who knows who's going to get bombed next. Why wouldn't it be a Broadway theater? You know, Hollywood out there, they were sure it was going to hit, you know, they're so self-centered, everything was going to hit them, you know.
Right.
One of the studios. But sure, no, they had the same fear issues, but people, boy, they got out there. And I'm feeling that now. I am. Okay, a lot of people that we both know or we all know, you know, are just scared about going anywhere. But I'm sensing they're selling tickets. Hadestown's been selling out. Waitress has been selling out. To Kill a Mockingbird's going to... They're, you know, people are anxious to come back. But like I keep saying, you got to really want to see it because there are a lot of, you know, protocols and all that, and which make you feel safer.
Yeah, but except that, and I'll just interject this one last time. The people who don't feel safe, whatever, don't feel safe with the protocols. So you have, and this, I think, in the end is what happened in UK. It's like, okay, well.
Yeah.
If the people don't feel safe with anything, then they're going to have to wait until they feel safe.
That's right.
And again, this so skews demographically. And so it's a really interesting subject because of Broadway. Because I don't know how your kids are, but most, I would say most 25 to 39, like they're done. They're over it.
Yeah, no, I would agree. As a matter of fact, my daughter's getting a ticket to Hadestown right now. Yeah, I asked Richard Nelson, the playwright. I said, ultimately, what are your thoughts about Broadway coming back? He said, Broadway has always only cared about one thing, money. And if they can make the money, they will be back. He said, I'm more worried about the nonprofits. He said, they're the ones, you know, he's done all his work for the public mostly. You know, he said, they're the ones that really need support. And they're going through a lot of changes and a lot of pressure on what kind of shows they're doing, of course, and all that. So that's where, you know, Broadway will survive with The Music Man and To Kill a Mockingbird. And, you know, it may not, I don't think Passover is going to stay on long. You know, it'll have some hits, some misses. But the reliables, you know, the Come From Aways, the Dear Evan Hansens, you know, they'll do fine. They've got the name and the reputation. But I think you're right. People want, they probably want a Mamma Mia. And that's why the Temptation show is doing well, too. Because it's a feel-good, you know, you get up in the aisle and you dance. Let's face it, we all want to get up on an aisle and dance.
You stole my line.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.